as his mouth covers me. His tongue takes a dive into a happy Louise as I fist a hand in his hair, overcome with the feels as my toes curl. He uses his mouth to fuck my pussy just like he kisses. Long strokes and suck in my nether lips and clit until I skim through the horizon of pleasure like a shooting star. Just as my orgasm ebbs, his cock replaces his mouth and he moves inside me again. He makes love to me this time. It's not loud or frantic like earlier. Soft moans and groans fill the room as my heart expands with need. I have no idea when we finally fall asleep. I only know when I wake, I smell coffee. I open my eyes and shoot out of the bed when I see the time on my silent alarm clock read 7. Shit, I call out. I'm gonna be late. I scramble into the bathroom and take a quick shower. I mourn the fact that I'm washing Andy's sexy scent off me. It makes me feel branded, a feeling I haven't had in a while, but I can't go into the office smelling like sex. The water is warm, and I hate that I have to rush my shower, but if I don't get a move on, I won't make it to the office on time. There's no time to blow dry my hair, which sucks because the temperature outside is probably going to be below freezing. I comb it back and pull a ponytail holder around it. I apply a little makeup after brushing my teeth and head out to my bedroom. Andy is there, wearing only pants. He holds 2 steaming mugs and extends one out to me. I step over to grab it. You're a godsend.
I don't know about that, he says on a chuckle.
He's so damn beautiful, and that crooked smile makes me want to jump him. I delight in the taste of a good morning cup of joe before I set what is left down on the bedside table and walk naked over to my dresser.
Sore?
He asks. Mortified, he notices that I'm walking a little strangely. I feel my cheeks flush. A little, but in a good way. I pull out the necessary undergarments and try not to squirm under the weight of his gaze as I put them on. He makes me feel naked, and not just the clothesless kind of way. I feel like he can read my soul as he watches me. You should take a video, I tease, trying to hide my discomfort. His brow quirks.
Didn't know you were into sex tapes.
Hardy har har. I stride past to go into my closet to find something to wear. I grab the first thing I see, a cream blouse, navy pants, and a matching short jacket. It's professional and stylish enough to make an appearance at Ted's office. When I put the blouse on, Andy, still shirtless, shakes his head. I turn away to sit in order to put on my pants. When I stand again, he's holding a turtleneck up in my direction.
I think this is better.
I laugh, wondering when I last wore that. It's something I should have given away long ago. Why is that? He walks over and places a finger above the top button of the blouse. It lands right at the crest of my cleavage.
You have to know after last night, I'm not sharing you with anyone else.
I glance up into unfathomable blue eyes. I don't share either. I place my index finger on his pec before sliding it across his nipple. With only our fingertips on each other, I can almost hear the crackle of sexual energy pass between us.
Don't start something, otherwise you'll have to call out sick today.
I take the turtleneck from his hands and toss it to the side. I wish I could, but I have a meeting today.
Important?
Yes, I have to go see Ted. I don't think about my words until his eyes darken. Quickly, I add, I'm working on a project for him, and I need to give him the first draft. I've been working my ass off on the accounting policies and procedures. Writing again, even though it's technically a manual of sorts and not an editorial piece, feels good. I lean up to him and press my lips to his. You have nothing to worry about. He stares at me for a minute.
I trust you. It's him I don't trust.
I trust you too, and I can handle Ted. A sigh. I wish I could stay.
Let me take you to work. Maybe I should pay a visit to Ted and say hello.
Something in his words almost sounds like a threat. I can't imagine the two of them together. I don't think Ted is interested in me anymore, but male pride could have them going at it just to prove a point. I don't think that's a good idea. I laugh, trying to play it off as I slip on my jacket.
Okay, but I want to take you to lunch. I'll hang out in D.C. today and meet you later.
I pray he doesn't run into Ted as I agree to his lunchtime plans. On the way to the office, I can't seem to tear my eyes off of Andy as he manipulates his car through the D.C. traffic. It reminds me of the way he handled my body last night, and a warm flush spreads over me.
What has you so quiet over there?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Thinking about last night and how much I would have regretted if you walked out of my life. I want this to work. I reach for his hand because I have this need to touch him. Again, I'm surprising myself. A broad grin stretches out across his face.
That's probably the best thing I've heard in a long time, other than your lovely sexy sounds last night. And I plan to make sure I hear those on a regular basis.
Are you making me a promise?
Oh, you can count on it. Do you have an office with a door?
The sexy cast of his eyes makes me cross my legs. My cheeks warm at the thought of office sex. I don't have an office here at this location. I'm working out of a cube.
We'll have to get creative then.
His hand slides up my thigh. I playfully slap it away. We won't be having sex in Ted's offices. I laugh.
Too bad. I'm sure we could teach him a thing or two.
You are so bad. I'm instantly looking very forward to meeting Andy for lunch today, but I also hope to dodge the bullet of the two men meeting. Chapter 19. Past. Second semester is flying by. I'm angry with myself because I promised Jenna I would go to Key West for spring break with her. All I want to do is spend the week with Drew. She catches me pouting on more than one occasion. If you want to back out, it's fine. I don't want to back out. Look, Kate, you and I have been friends since what, kindergarten? I know when you don't want to do something. If you don't want to go, I don't want you to go. It won't be any fun dragging you around to clubs and stuff with your lower lip hanging on the ground. I'm not acting like that. Uh-huh, right. She's right, and I know it. I thrum my fingers on the table as she stares at me. You need to decide soon, because if you're not going, I need to get a replacement. I'm going. This will be good for me. I need some Jenna Kate time. You sure about this? You've been stuck to Drew's side since Thanksgiving. Sometimes I think you're his third arm. Once again, I can't argue with that. I know, but I can't help it. When I'm not with him, it's like a part of me isn't here. Jesus, you're kidding, right? No, I'm not. I wish I were. I hang my head. Well, damn girl, there's no reason to be down about it. Be happy you found your one. Not many people can say that. I know, but it seems like forever until I graduate. She thumps me on the side of the head. Get a hold of yourself, you fucknut. It's not like you're in school in China, for Pete's sake. You're an hour away from him. Of all people I know, you're the last one I thought I'd be having this talk with. You, Kate Forbes, pining away for your guy. She shakes her head. Remind me never to fall in love. You look like a damn fool. Then she makes a funny face and pokes out her tongue, and I can't help but giggle. It is ridiculous. I can't argue with you there. But one day you'll see what I'm talking about. It's like something takes a hold of you and won't let you go. Jenna gives me this priceless look and says, Girl, you know what that is, don't you? It's the damn sex spell. Your slut gene has been activated, and you've gotten a taste of that orgasmic DNA. That's all it is. Do you believe there's only one person on this earth for you? What? Hell no. Drew doesn't either, but he does think it's difficult to find one that can make you happy. Yeah, I'll go with that. But I think the sea is loaded with tons of fish. You just have to use the right bait. Jenna and Drew are probably right, but whatever the case, I'm glad Drew and I found each other. So, Key West with me then? Yeah. No surly Kate? Yeah. Okay, but if you do, I swear I'll kick your ass. And she almost ends up doing exactly that. The first couple of days, I'm fine. loving the warm temps and the beach, but after day four, I'm over this place. Every day and night we do the same thing, and Jenna's agenda is completely different from mine. All I want to do by this time is to go home, to Drew. I want to get away from all the partying because I'm not into it at all. The sticky floors where everyone has spilled their sugary drinks, or worse, and the gooey seats where you're afraid to sit make me cringe to think about. And then I have to fend off drunk and horny dudes who are kind of sad and pitiful, but completely annoying with the way they pour their drinks all over me. Each night when we get home, I immediately jump in the shower while Jenna promptly passes out. By day five, I'm doing a mental hourly countdown until I can leave this horrible place. Saturday morning, I practically have to beat Jenna to get her to wake up. Of course, she didn't go to bed until 5 a.m. Our flight is at 10, so we need to leave for the airport at 8. After four attempts, I finally get her going. When we land in Indy, Drew is waiting at the baggage claim, and Jenna looks like a worn-out hooker. "Don't ask," she says as she walks straight past him and takes the first seat she finds.
"Is she okay?"
he asks. "Hungover. I had to beat her up to get her out of bed. I'm so glad to be home. I'm never leaving you again."
"I like the sound of that," he says.
"No, I'm serious. It was awful. I never should have gone. It was not my scene at all." He turns to me and runs his finger down my cheek.
"I'm so sorry. I was hoping you'd have a great break."
Then his arms are around me, and I bury myself in his embrace. The luggage starts dropping, and I reluctantly pull myself away. Drew collects our bags and Jenna, and we head to his car. "I think we need to stay here tonight. Jenna's not in any shape to drive and needs sleep, and so do I. With you."
"That can be arranged."
When we get to Drew's, he takes Jenna to the extra bedroom and she crawls into bed. That's the last we hear from her until later that night. Drew and I sit in the living room and catch up for a while. I tell him all about my awful week, but instead of feeling sorry for me, he laughs. He thinks it's funny that I hated the clubs and bars and hated staying out late with Jenna. "Why is it so funny?"
"Selfishly, because you weren't looking for other guys."
"So you are happy I was miserable?"
Yeah.
And his smile speaks a million words. Drew McKnight may have been a little jealous before I went to Key West, but now he's a happy guy knowing I was miserable there. And it's my turn to smile. I lean over and kiss him. Then he adds,
"By the way, I wanted to wait until you got back to share this news with you."
He's almost rubbing his hands together. "What news?"
"I've been named chief resident for next year."
"What? That's awesome. Congratulations." Now I really lay a kiss on him. "I can't believe you've been holding this in."
"Yeah, I know. It's been kind of hard."
He's so excited. He grabs me and squeezes all the air out of me. "Drew," I squeak. "Can't breathe."
"Oh."
He instantly releases me.
"Sorry about that."
Then we both laugh. "Oh my God, I can't believe this. This is so huge for you. This means you'll be able to practically name your fellowship then, right? I mean, don't chiefs carry a lot of clout?" "Never being one to boast," he says in an understated way.
"A fair amount. I think I want Charleston, though. Is that okay with you?"
He's asking me as though I'm a part of his future. We've kind of hinted at this sort of thing, but this is no hint this time. "Are you asking because you want my opinion, or because you want to know if I want to go with you?" His hand cups my cheek, and all the cheer turns serious.
"Kate, I'm asking because I want you by my side wherever I go. I want you to be happy with that decision. I'm not going to choose just for me anymore."
Wow. My head drops down as I stare at my lap. This is an unexpected discussion. Not that I don't want to have it. I love Drew, and at some point I figured we would have this chat, but I didn't think it would be today.
"I take it from your reaction we're traveling different roads."
I quickly say, "No, not at all. I was only thinking I didn't expect to be talking about this today. I want to be with you too, Drew. And to answer you, I would love to return to Charleston as long as I don't have to live with my parents. His eyes grow dark and hooded as he says,
You won't be living with anyone but me, and at some point our kids.
I'm sure my brows shoot up to the heavens when he makes this announcement. Then he adds,
That is, if you want kids. I'm willing to do anything your way, Kate.
I want kids. No more than three, though. That's my limit.
Fine with me. But we won't work on that until a few more years. We can practice for the time being.
I like that idea. We get a little practice in that night. And the next morning, Jenna and I head back to Purdue. For once, I'm ready to hit the books and finish up this semester. My birthday weekend arrives in April, and Drew says he has something special planned. On Friday, another spectacular flower arrangement is delivered. It contains all the special flowers he gave me before. Roses, lilies, calla lilies, white carnations, orchids, and tulips. This time, I know what they all mean. Jenna's jaw hits the floor, and I take my finger and push it back up to close her mouth. Fuck, you are spoiled. That's all she says. Yes, I am. He hasn't mentioned anything to you about this weekend, has he? Not a word? Want me to ask Ben? Yeah, would you? She picks up her phone and makes the call. I can hear them chatting, but when she hangs up, she has a sly look on her face. Don't ask me a thing. I promised Ben I wouldn't tell you. That is not fair. You're my best friend. Yeah, but I'm Ben's sister and he's Drew's best friend, and that puts me awkwardly between a rock and a hard place. So I'm screwed either way. If I guess, will you tell me? No, my lips are sealed. When are you leaving? As soon as I get packed. Jenna presses her lips together. Did he tell you what to pack? No, why? I don't know, just asking. Gah, you suck. She makes a face, runs to her room, and slams the door shut. I look at the flowers, smell them, and go finish packing. I want to take the flowers with me. Hey, Jenna. How can I take these with me and not have them spill all over the place? Got a box? Set them in a box, she yells through her door. Looking around, I don't see anything until she tosses one out of her room. Here. Then her door slams shut again. Damn, she definitely is avoiding me. When I'm finally packed, I yell through her door that I'm leaving. She runs out and squishes me in a giant hug. Have fun, birthday girl, and I'll see you on Sunday. Then she skedaddles right back into her room as though she can't bear to face me. Weird. Shaking my head, I head to my car and hit the road. Sexy Drew waits for me as I pull into his parking lot. It's a gorgeous spring day, and he's wearing a black t-shirt and faded jeans. He opens my car door as usual and pulls me into his arms.
Happy birthday weekend, gorgeous.
For whatever reason, I'm unusually excited to see him. Thank you, I bubble out. Then his warm, wet lips find mine, and I sink into his embrace. My fingers weave into his thick, messy hair, and all I want to do is stand here and kiss him. But he ends my pleasure all too soon.
Let's get your things.
I pop open the trunk, and he surprises me when he takes my things, and instead of carrying them inside, he puts them in his car. Then he takes my hand and says,
Let's go.
Where? The flowers. His brows crease in confusion. I brought the gorgeous flowers you sent.
Ah.
He nods. He walks to the passenger's side and retrieves them.
We'll bring them too.
Where are we going?
You'll see.
We drive downtown and he pulls up to the Conrad Indianapolis Hotel and a valet opens my door. I look at Drew, and he gets out of the car and meets me, grabs my hand, and we walk inside to check in. Apparently, he's booked a suite for the weekend. He's lost his mind. Leaning into him, I whisper, Are you crazy? This is expensive. He chooses to ignore me. The clerk hands him his keys, and the bellman follows with our luggage on a cart. Once upstairs, the bellman gives us a brief tour of our one-bedroom suite, and then leaves. When he's gone, I say, This is amazing, but Drew, it's way too much.
Happy birthday to the love of my life. Now, if you don't stop with this train of thought, you'll kill my pleasure. Don't kill this for us, Kate.
A bottle of iced champagne awaits us with two glasses, and Drew heads over to uncork it. He holds up his glass and says,
"Here's to the girl who changed my life. Happy birthday, Kate."
After we sip our tasty drinks, he announces that it's room service tonight, and tomorrow is a spa day for me. He's lined up some sort of body treatment, massage, a manicure, and pedicure.
And by the way, their room service is supposed to be excellent.
I'm stunned. I don't know what to say. I suppose I look like some big goofy fool because I say nothing. And then I start to cry. Not a full-on ugly boo-hoo cry, but an overwhelming type of cry. You know, the kind where you feel joy and loved.
"Don't cry, babe. This is supposed to be fun for you."
"It is." I wail and sniff. "But I've never done these things before, and I'm so affected. In a good way." He puts his hands on my shoulders and says,
"Kate, look at me."
I do as he says.
"This is only the beginning of all the things I want to do for you. So, sweet, beautiful thing, you'd better get used to it in a big hurry."
He's all blurred as I look at him, and I smile, though it's watery and icky, but he hugs me into his broad chest, and it's exactly where I want to be. In the morning, I slap Drew's hands away as he wakes me.
"Don't you want coffee and breakfast before you go to the spa?"
"Grr, what time is it?"
9:30.
"No, it's not." I stick my face back into my pillow, convinced he's teasing me.
Yes, it is. There's a clock on the bedside table if you don't believe me."
Lifting my head, I take a quick look and am shocked to see he's right. Holy hell, how did I sleep this late?
"Want me to tell you?"
Then I remember the night before, and my face warms.
Ah, she still blushes at the thought of sex with her boyfriend.
I don't know why, but I do. That wasn't sex. What we did should be illegal. I think about all the things his mouth did to me and the places his fingers went, and I'm pretty sure my face is now red as an apple.
God, I love it when your skin flushes like that.
His mouth moves to my neck and kisses me on my pulse point.
If you don't get a move on, you'll end up going to your spa appointment smelling like a freshly fucked woman. I don't mind it, but I'm not sure if you do.
Shit. I hop out of bed and make a dash for the shower, hearing his laughter follow me. After a quick shower and some breakfast, we head off to the spa. Drew's only getting a massage and says to meet him back in the room when I'm done. The rest of the morning and early afternoon, I am pampered, exfoliated, moisturized, massaged, hot stoned, and given the hand and foot treatment. It's amazingly relaxing, and when I return to the room, I feel like a new woman. Drew is watching hockey when I get back. He's totally absorbed since the playoffs are set to begin in a couple of weeks. But as soon as I enter the room, he turns the TV off, and I'm the center of his world. "You don't have to do that," I say. He gives me a look like I'm one of the velociraptors from Jurassic World, and I just stepped off the screen and into the living room.
"It's your birthday weekend, and I plan to be with you every moment. I can watch hockey any day of the week. Now, how was it?"
"Oh my goodness, it was like nothing I've ever experienced before."
"Okay, now you're stepping on my toes, babe. I thought I was your best."
He winks. I laugh. You know what I mean.
"You loved it then?"
"God, yeah."
"Let me see your fingers and toes."
I hold out my hands while I kick off my shoes.
"Nice. I'm gonna have to play with those toes a little."
"Didn't know you have a toe thing."
"I don't, but I kinda like yours. You hungry?"
"Starving."
"Let's go eat."
During lunch, we talk about mundane things, but then I turn the conversation down another lane. "I've been offered an internship this summer with a finance firm here in town. It's a great opportunity, and I'd like to take it."
"Congratulations, Kate. That's great. When did this happen?"
"This past week. One of my professors told me about it and said it was a long shot, so I didn't think much about it until they called and made me the offer yesterday."
"You accepted, I presume?"
"Not exactly. I told them I'd let them know on Monday."
"Why?"
"Because I need a place to live." He laughs.
"What? Did you think I'd say no?
I fidget with my napkin before answering. No, it's only that a whole summer is a lot longer than we're used to, and my parents will freak at the idea of me living with you.
I see. So you're willing to give up a huge career enhancer because of a couple of minor glitches.
He has a way of making my objections sound silly. I guess it would be pretty damn stupid of me.
Look, we won't get on each other's nerves, if that's what you're worried about. I would love having you with me for an entire summer. In fact, I'll go so far as to beg you to take the damn job. Please, oh, please, Kate.
He has me laughing by this time.
And didn't you say your father thought you had a silly major?
Yeah.
Well, this is your chance to prove him wrong.
True, but they still won't like us living together. He waves his hand through the air.
Oh, hell, they'll get over it when they find out you have free rent.
Oh, no, I can't do that. I'll pay a part of it. He shrugs.
We'll figure something out then, but make that call Monday.
Okay, I will. That evening, Drew tells me only to dress in whatever is most comfortable to me. He's wearing jeans and a light sweater. A knock on our door surprises me, and he goes to answer it with a sly smile on his face. In walks an entourage of people, one obviously a chef. His name is Michael, and he's here to prepare our dinner. I go to the bedroom to quickly change and come out wearing jeans and a sweater, too. The chef prepares something, but Drew won't tell me what, and the other people have disappeared. When I ask about them, Drew only smiles and shrugs. Then he leads me back into the bedroom for a minute.
It's a big surprise birthday dinner, so if it doesn't work out exactly right, please don't hold it against me.
Why would I hold it against you? And everything you've done so far has surpassed anything I've ever experienced, so stop. I hug him. You're the best, Drew.
No, you are. And you stole my line.
He smacks my butt and then gets that heated look in his eyes. No, we can't. Michael is out there, and those other people.
Don't worry about them.
He starts stalking me around the bedroom. I can't help giggling because I feel like a little kid. Finally, I'm trapped in the corner, and he pulls me by my wrists and tosses me onto the bed, where he tickles me until I almost pee.
With everything I've done, all the places I've ever been, and every person I've ever met, nothing can come close to the sparkle in your eyes or the love I feel in my soul when you look at me, Kate Forbes.
His lips skim mine, teasing them as they taste, and his words touch a place in my heart I didn't know existed. I feel it too, Drew, when you look at me. It's one of those rare moments between two people that love each other, and I don't want it to end. But we're interrupted by a knock, and Drew offers me a crooked grin when he gets up to answer it. I hear them murmuring, but don't know what's said. Then he's back and tells me dinner will be ready in about 45 minutes.
Would you like some wine? And we can watch Michael cook.
That would be nice. So we sit at the small counter in the kitchen while Michael is busy preparing our meal, and I soon become engrossed watching him. He's making oven-roasted salmon, sautéed mixed baby vegetables, and Parmesan risotto. He will also serve a grilled romaine salad with walnuts, gorgonzola, and a cherry vinaigrette. It all looks and sounds delicious. When it's almost ready, the chef nods to Drew, and Drew asks me to wait in the bedroom. I think it's sort of strange, but I don't say anything. I go in and sit on the bed, waiting patiently. About 5 minutes pass, and Drew comes to get me.
Okay, close your eyes for me, please, and I'll lead the way.
We're going someplace else?
Just follow my lead, Sherlock.
With my eyes closed and holding on to him, I follow. I step up and down when he tells me, and finally I hear the words,
"You can open your eyes now, Kate."
Grinning, I do. But then I gasp, and my hand flies to my mouth. This is one of those I-can't-believe-it moments. I do a couple of pirouettes, and my eyes stay saucered. One thing I didn't pay attention to was the fact that there was a terrace outside of our living room. The team of people that arrived with Michael evidently came out here and decorated it. There are paper lanterns, rose petals, candles, and twinkling lights everywhere. A small table is set for dinner, and music plays from inside. A waiter is ready to serve us, and it's the most perfect setting I've ever seen. Drew holds the chair out for me, and I sit. Our food is delivered, and it's so tasty I keep mmming.
You keep that up, you'll mmm yourself to death.
Maybe, but this is really delicious.
The hotel said I wouldn't be disappointed, and they were right. Michael is excellent.
How did you come up with this?
I wanted something special for your 21st birthday.
You succeeded by miles. Thank you, if I haven't said it yet. You keep upping the ante.
There is no ante.
His kind eyes are earnest and intently focused on me.
I want to please you, Kate.
It's difficult to contain my excitement, and I feel giddy. You've more than done that. We finish eating, and I'm ashamed to say there isn't a morsel left on my plate. Then the waiter reappears with a small cake and candles in it while Drew sings me happy birthday. Thank you, Drew. I wouldn't change a thing. But oh God, it's a good thing you have another career because you'd go broke as a singer.
Yeah, pitiful, aren't I?
Never that, I say, conjuring up images of last night, remembering how he makes up for the lack of singing skills in other areas. But the cake?
Just wait.
The waiter serves us, and it's an ice cream cake with chocolate cake and Oreo ice cream. It's official. Best birthday ever, I say around a huge mouthful of creamy, yummy stuff. When we finish our cake and all the servers and Michael are gone, I look at Drew and say, I doubt this birthday could ever be topped.
You sure about that?
Hell yeah. This was nothing but a series of awesome. Only he strikes me speechless when he gets out of his seat, drops to his knee, and takes my hands in his.
Kate Forbes, I knew the minute I saw you that I would be asking you this question one day. You have opened up my heart and soul to a love I didn't understand. But now that I do, I never want to let it go.
He swallows, and I feel the tears begin to well up in my eyes.
Will you say yes to being my better half? I promise to be Louise's slave for life.
I open my mouth to form the word yes, but all the air has left my lungs.
Marry me, Kate.
He has the most adorable look on his face. All I can do is hug him. I'm so surprised by everything he's managed to do. But when he reaches into his pocket and pulls out the ring box, he looks like that playful, excited little boy again. He places it in the palm of his hand and holds it out for me. Finally, words burst from my mouth. You don't want to put it on me?
I want you to see if you like it or not. If you don't, we'll get whatever you want.
I'm sure it's perfect, like everything else about tonight. He just holds the box for me to take.
It's all yours, Kate.
I take it, open it, and feel myself smile from ear to ear. I close the box and throw myself into his arms again. I couldn't have chosen anything better. My body trembles from head to toe. I never in a million years imagined I'd be getting a diamond ring for my birthday.
You never answered me.
Huh?
Will you marry me?
Yes, a million yeses. He stands, spins me around, and lets out a huge whoop. When? I ask.
After you graduate and I finish my residency. Next year.
Oh, that's perfect. Can it be small?
I don't care if we get married in the Elvis Chapel in Vegas. I just want to be Mr. Kate Forbes.
He grabs the box from me and slides the ring on my finger. Oh my God. And we both start laughing. Then I sober up. My parents.
They know. I called your dad to ask for your hand and for his blessing.
I put my hand over my heart, thinking how sweet that is. You did that?
Of course, I'm a Southern boy, you know. Besides, my mother would have killed me if I hadn't.
And your parents?
They know, too.
And?
Can hardly wait to hear your reaction. My mom helped me pick out your ring. Do you like the solitaire?
Yes, it's what I always wanted. Just a solitaire. How did you know?
Mom asked if you wore a lot of jewelry, and I said no. This is what she said to go with.
Remind me to thank her. It's so huge.
No, it's not. It's 2 carats.
Whoa, I'll be afraid to wear this.
Don't be. It's insured. I love you. You, Kate, are everything to me.
I love you too, Drew. I can't wait until you're Drew Forbes. I manage to say straight-faced before a laugh bursts from me. He cracks a smile. Then his lids lower to half-staff, and he says,
Let's dance.
What's wrong? I ask, because his mood has shifted.
Not a thing. I'm just so damned happy you've agreed to make it official and be mine forever.
He pulls me into his arms, and it's here I want to stay. For a lifetime. Chapter 20. Present. For some reason, I stand in the elevator, glancing at my ringless finger. I want to run, but I promised Andy I wouldn't. I've been given a second chance, and I'm ready to take it. The doors part, and Ted is standing there waiting. I step out.
Kate, just the woman I'm looking for.
I frown and say, Me? I place my hand on the hollow of my throat.
Yes, I have to reschedule our 10 o'clock. I'm hoping we could do lunch instead.
I hesitate, because I want to see Andy for lunch.
I'm actually already late for a meeting. I have to run. Talk to my assistant if you can make lunch.
He steps into the elevator and is gone before I can respond. I walk over to the cube I've been using. Jeff is standing there flipping through papers. He glances up when I get close.
What's the long face for?
I shake my head, not wanting to get into the Ted debate with him. I think this is my last day here.
No, come work for me.
Jeff pleads dramatically. I smile. I'm gonna miss you all.
We should do lunch.
I give him a tight smile. I actually have plans. However, it's not like my office is that far away. We could plan lunch another time. He leans in for a hug.
I'm gonna miss you. I have to run to a meeting, but promise you won't be a stranger.
Then he's off, and I sit at my desk and boot up. While I wait to log on to the system, I dial Ted's extension from the list posted on the wall. After a short conversation, I learn that Ted is booked solid for the day and going out of town tomorrow. His only available appointment, short of something late in the evening, is lunch. The project deadline is tomorrow. I have no choice but to take the lunch meeting. Sighing, I make a call to Andy to give him the bad news. Hey, I'm sorry, but I have to break our lunch date.
Something came up?
There's hesitancy in his voice. I can't get mad that he sounds as though he doesn't quite trust me. I have been running from him the last few weeks. I have a meeting that got rescheduled to lunch. However, that means I can probably swing leaving early. Why don't I come to your place and bring dinner to make it up to you?
You sure?
Yes, I want to see you again. His voice is more relaxed.
Then it's a date. See you later.
I'll call you when I'm on my way. The meeting with Ted turns out to only be 2 minutes. I end up emailing him the document at his request. He tells me he'll be in touch if he has any questions and apologizes for breaking our lunch date. Our conversation almost seems sterile. Clearly, he's moved on after my refusal to go to France with him, which isn't a bad thing. I'm grateful we can remain cordial with no bad feelings either way. Ted makes up our missed lunch by paying for me, Jeff, and the rest of the staff to go out instead. By the time I get to my office at the firm, Mandy follows me through my door.
You don't call, you don't write. I thought we lost you to Ted.
I turn and hug her. I missed you too. How are things? She spins in a whirlwind and sits in one of the chairs in front of my desk.
How are things? I'll tell you how things are. Daniel is dating that redhead downstairs from the law office, Tammy, and she's not good enough for him.
I sit on the edge of my desk and face her. In other words, she's not you.
Exactly.
I can't say I blame him. You totally freaked after he spent that one night at your place. Then you pawned him off to other girls.
Whose side are you on?
Yours? But you have to see the part you played in this. I have that deja vu moment of saying words that have been said to me.
Fine, Mandy says. We're going out Friday and finding me a new guy, and don't say no. I see it in your eyes.
She holds up a finger. You promised. I sighed. Fine, we'll go out for drinks on Friday. She stands and smirks. I see someone isn't in a dry spell anymore. I open my mouth. She shakes her head. Don't say a word. Tell me on Friday. It will give us something to talk about other than Daniel. Anyway, I'm glad your assignment's over. We missed you. I spend the rest of the morning making sure my billable hours are in the system, and I compose an email to my boss about my two-minute meeting with Ted. I currently don't have any assignments, so I'm able to duck out a little early. At home, I take a quick shower and get dressed. When my cab arrives, I finish placing my takeout order to be delivered to Andy's. The Thai place he recommended says it will be about 45 minutes. The ride to his place is just over 30. I knock on his door and he opens it with a grand smile.
Hey, gorgeous.
Hey, you. I say, before lifting on my toes and giving him a quick kiss. When he asks me,
how was work?
It feels so domestic, it's as if I've arrived home. Boring. I'd much rather have spent the day with you. What did you do all day? He takes my coat, and my skin feels electric everywhere he touches me.
I went to the gym, did some laundry, picked up my dry cleaning. Boring stuff. I would have preferred being with you as well.
He kisses me as his hands slide down and rest at the small of my back. He pulls me closer, and I can feel how happy he is to see me. I pull back far enough to say, I ordered dinner on the way. It should be here in about 15 minutes. He grins.
I can accomplish a lot in 15.
Is that a challenge or a dare? His eyes twinkle, and before I know it, he's kneeling before me. I run my fingers through his blonde hair, liking his blue eyes radiating up at me. We don't speak. Holding eye contact with me, he pushes my skirt up my thighs. It might have been more practical for me to wear jeans, since we didn't have plans to go out, but I wanted to wear the garters because they make me feel sexy. When my skirt is bunched up at my waist, he tugs a little at the garters that hold up thigh highs.
You know I like these.
I bite my lips because I remember all too well. Then his mouth is on me, first through the fabric, then his breath heats my bare skin before he feasts on me. He's good, so very good, and easily gets me there. I let out an unladylike scream seconds before a knock sounds on the door. I cup my hands over my mouth as my eyes widen. My face gets hot as Andy grins at me, still on his knees. I point at him and then at the door. He laughs and gets to his feet. My feeble attempt at angry face is a massive fail because I'm flaming hot from embarrassment.
Just a minute,
he calls out and heads to the kitchen to wash his hands. He uses the towel to wipe his face, and I duck in the shadowy hallway. I don't worry about coming out of my hiding place because I've already paid by credit card over the phone. Andy only has to give the guy a tip. When the door closes, his guffaws have me narrow-eyed. He sets the bag down on the counter and comes to the hallway. It's not funny. I try to say straight-faced, but blow it.
There is nothing to be embarrassed about. So you like sex. Who doesn't?
I screamed, I say, feeling a little silly.
So what? You're vocal about it. I like hearing you scream, knowing I can do that to you.
He silences further protest with a long kiss. I can taste myself on his tongue as he presses me into the wall. His rigid cock rubs against me, and I moan, wanting him inside me more than the delightful smells of the food. I reach behind me and unzip my skirt. I let it fall to the ground unceremoniously. Andy is in the process of undoing the button on his jeans when a knock sounds at the door. Andy frowns.
Maybe he gave me the wrong credit card copy. Stay right here.
I nod. I'm no longer embarrassed by the scream. I'm turned on to the point of not caring who sees me. Andy has a way of doing that to me. I curl a finger into my unders to take them off, ready for what's to come. A man barrels past Andy.
Drew, my boy, I haven't heard from you for over a week. That woman has you tied into knots, and you need to get out that funk. I brought food.
He holds up a bag.
And beer.
He holds a six-pack of Yingling with the other hand.
We can watch the Capitals play the Blackhawks. Or I have a hookup with a set of twins who live not too far from here if you're ready to finally get laid. If we hurry, I can make that call and get them over here.
The guy finally looks up, and even though the hallway is shrouded in darkness, it's clear I'm not wearing pants. For a moment, I'm the deer, and this stranger is Hunter. I'm not sure who is more surprised.
Oh, you have company.
Everything happens so fast. Andy is already moving to block the guy's sight of me as he was speaking. I have a vague memory of him the two times I briefly caught sight of him. I'm pretty sure he's one of the friends Andy was with the night I was too plastered to get home by myself and at the masquerade ball. I crouch down and step in my skirt while 6 foot plus of Andy hides me somewhat. I'm so mortified, I know I resemble a ripe tomato. When my skirt is zipped, I step up behind Andy. He glances over his shoulder before reaching for my hand and tugging me to step forward next to him.
Is this the one?
The guy asks.
She looks like the one we ran into twice. It's her, isn't it? Yes, Mitch, meet Kate. Kate, this is Mitch, one of my friends from undergrad.
Mitch is slightly shorter but broader than Andy. He's a decent-looking guy with deep-set dimples. However, he stands as if he has a chip on his shoulder. I'm not quite sure if he has a problem or if that's his personality. Nice to meet you, I say, reaching out a hand to him. Mitch just looks at it. Awkwardly, I drop my hand back to my side.
Kate, the one that left you in Charleston. Kate, the girl you came to Baltimore to forget. Kate, the girl you just happened to run into in D.C. That Kate.
Even if he hadn't said those words, the way he looks at me says he's not my biggest fan.
Mitch, don't start.
The guy looks dumbstruck.
Seriously, we don't hang out much since undergrad. You show up in D.C. needing a place to stay for a while. Dave and I get you good and drunk, and we hear this whole story about a girl who up and left you high and dry in Charleston. It takes a while to get your head out of your ass and move on, only for you to run into that girl again.
I should be insulted he's calling me a girl, but everything he's saying about me is true.
Now, she's leading you around by the balls. If your mood is shit, I know she's playing games with you. If you are in a good mood, then I know she's leading you around by your dick. That's enough, Mitch. What I choose to do with Kate is my business.
No, he's right, Andy, I say. Mitch's brows shoot up into his hairline.
Andy, what the fuck is up with that?
Drew, I say instead. Maybe I should go.
You should,
Mitch says. Andy cuts in.
No, Mitch, you should go.
I don't want to be the cause of problems with his friends. Mitch has a right to be angry. No, I have work in the morning. I should leave.
Unfortunately, nobody is going anywhere. Some freak storm that was supposed to miss us is pounding D.C. and headed to Baltimore to ram us up the ass. Maryland has declared a state of emergency. I'd already taken the exit off the highway when the snow started. I turned off Sirius to listen to a local radio station and knew I was fucked. You're stuck with us both.
I walk over to the window, and I'm surprised by the amount of snow on the ground. It has only been less than a half an hour I've been here, and the roads are already coated. Under the lamps that line the street, you can see that it's coming down so thick it will be nearly a whiteout situation.
There's a hotel in walking distance,
I hear Andy say as I watch the snow with fascination.
So that's how it is now. I put you up when you first get into town, and you're sending me to a hotel. I'll pay for it.
I turn from the window. No, Mitch should stay. I'll go to the hotel.
No fucking way,
Andy growls. Mitch and I both stare at Andy. It's not often I've seen him angry. His stubborn jaw has nothing on the narrow eyes he gives Mitch. Look, I begin. Mitch, you're right. I made some poor choices with Drew.
You're damn right.
I breathe and let Mitch's comment go for the sake of Andy. I don't want to be the cause of a disagreement between you two. Friends before lovers. I offer like a peace pipe.
Bros before hoes, you mean? Fuck, Mitch, stop being an asshole. Kate's not going anywhere. If you want to stay, you're going to be nice to her. You should start by apologizing. I'm a big boy. If I want Kate to keep my balls for me, that's on me.
His words might have been comical, if not for the tension that's created a wall between Mitch and him.
I'm not wrong. So what am I apologizing for?
Mitch declares. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to both of you. I head toward the bathroom because I have nowhere else to go and I'm not crying in front of Mitch. I won't give him that satisfaction. And if I leave the apartment, I will be running again. And I promised Andy I wouldn't run. I close the door and stare at myself in the mirror. I want to cry, but I won't. If I plan to be with Andy, this won't be the last time I have to deal with hard feelings. This will be only the beginning. I straighten my clothes by glaring at my reflection. I splash water on my face before I feel strong enough to go face the music. When I open the door, Mitch is there with his fist poised to knock. He sighs.
Kate, I didn't mean to make you cry.
I hadn't cried. He'd mistaken my flush from rinsing my face, but I don't correct him.
Drew was in a bad place after you. Anyway, you aren't the bitch I thought you were. You could have called me all kinds of assholes out there. Instead, you took it, and that takes balls. It might be Drew's that you're holding.
He chuckles at his own joke. I say nothing.
All I ask is that you really consider what you're doing. Guys have feelings, too. He's a good one. He deserves a good woman. If that's you, well, all I ask is that you prove it.
He holds out his hand.
Deal.
I could have been a jerk and left him hanging like he'd done me earlier. However, I want to be with Andy. Mitch is his friend, and it would be better if we could at least get along. I take his hand. Deal. Guys are strange. After our talk by the bathroom, Mitch sits down on the couch as if the last 15 minutes hasn't happened. Obviously, no one is way around. He's made a plate of the Chinese food he brought and some of the Thai I ordered. I say nothing and watch the guys eat and drink with the game on after they ask if I would mind. How could I say no after being put in my place earlier? Andy has my legs draped over his lap, so my feet rest on the middle cushion between him and Mitch. My thighs become his plate as he eats. While I struggle to chew the lukewarm food, they watch the hockey game take shape on the screen. Andy and Mitch banter about good and bad calls as I continue to force myself to swallow.
You see that, Kate? We're gonna pull a win out of this one.
Mitch's whole demeanor has changed. He grips my ankle as if we are the best of friends, while his eyes remain on the screen. He squeezes before letting go and jumping to his feet as the buzzer sounds. Andy looks so alive, his face serene. The contentment of having me and his friend over is clear in his expression. I like the look there, so I smile when he faces me. His eyes darken, and I sense he's forgotten about the game and wants to focus on me.
You know where the other bedroom is,
Andy says as he stands up with me in his arms.
I've got rounds in the morning.
You have to work, I say dumbly. Of course he does. Hospitals never close. I've already received a text from the office emergency system letting me know the office will be closed tomorrow. He glances down at me with a huge smile on his face.
Doctor's work is never done. Why don't we go play doctor?
Mitch snickers.
I bet all that doctor play you did as a kid influenced your job choice. I was good at it.
Andy says with a laugh and carries me into the bedroom. He sets me down on my feet, and his face is sober.
My office will most likely be closed. However, the hospital won't. In fact, because I live closer, I might get called in.
Like you said, a doctor's work is never done. But I didn't bring a change of clothes. His grin widens.
Great, you can sleep naked.
He's already working on the buttons of my blouse. Mitch is here, I say playfully, slapping at his hands.
I locked the door and he'll probably fall asleep on the couch. I don't have a TV in the other bedroom. He'll stay out there watching SportsCenter most of the night.
Andy.
Kate.
He says, taking my hand and placing it on the hard length of him through his pants. I don't think I can, knowing he's out there. Andy groans and lets his head fall back on his shoulder. The idea of me screaming with his friend in the other room is mortifying. I do have a solution, I say, as I get to my knees and work his jeans down to his ankles. I do my best to suck him to the moon and back with hollow cheeks and humming noises. I know I'm doing a good job when he begins to lose control. He fists my hair in his hands and starts to fuck my face. It's so hot, I decide to use my free hand to work out the pressure that builds in me.
Kate, baby, I'm coming.
His release is hot and salty, and I take pleasure in swallowing it as I hold in the noise for my own pleasure. He frees himself from my mouth and pulls me to stand up.
Did you just get yourself off?
His eyes are husky on mine. I nod.
With this hand?
He asks as he takes my wrist. I nod again. He lifts my hand to his mouth and sucks my fingers.
Fuck, you taste good.
Then he picks me up, and I squeal, not expecting it. He tosses me on the bed, and I giggle as I land, which is so unlike me. He works my skirt and thong off before spreading my legs wide. He nestles there and gets me off another two times.
I can't get enough of you,
he says before sliding his stiff cock into me. He makes love to me long and slow, and I've forgotten all about Mitch. We lay in bed, wrapped up in each other, as his hand strokes my hair. I finally broach the subject. So, were you really that bad off when I left? His hand stills.
Kate, I thought we weren't going to talk about the past.
I know, but I'm not sure how to put it. I need to understand. He lets out a deep breath.
I know where everything went wrong. I know my part in it. When you left, it took me by surprise that you'd left the city for good. No one would tell me where you'd moved to, and you changed your phone number. I admit I was pissed for a short time. I thought what we had deserved more than you leaving that way. But I get it. I know why you did it, why you felt you had to do it.
I listen to the sound of his heartbeats a few seconds before I speak. I never meant to hurt you like that. He was silent.
Let's just move on. Nothing is solved by dwelling on a past we can't change. You're here, I'm here. We're here together. In this together.
We are, and I'm so incredibly happy. He kisses my forehead.
There is nothing in this world more important to me than to see you happy.
The smell of coffee wakes me in the morning as the bedroom door opens.
Morning, I brought you a cup.
I squeal because it's not Andy speaking. I grip the covers around me. Mitch laughs.
It's nothing I haven't seen before, Cupcake, and I don't poach. You're Drew's, and I respect that.
He sets the coffee down.
I'm making breakfast if you're interested.
And he leaves the room as quickly as he came in, only he doesn't close the door. My clothes are at the other end of the room. I'm left wondering what twilight zone I've entered. Men are crazy. Instead of getting out of bed, I sit up and grab the coffee. On the bedside table, a note sits on top of some clothes.
Kate, I had early rounds and didn't want to wake you. You look so beautiful when you sleep, when you're awake, and wherever and whatever you're doing. I left you a t-shirt and boxers. Mitch has no boundaries when it comes to personal space. I won't be long. I'll be back before lunch. Stay. Andy.
I smile and quickly get dressed under the covers before heading to the bathroom to take care of my morning routine. I glance and only see the one toothbrush. As much spit swapping as Andy and I have done, it doesn't take much for me to talk myself into using his toothbrush. Fresh breath wins out. And I head to the kitchen to deal with Andy's friend alone. Chapter 21, Past. My role as an intern is in full swing, and living with Drew is working out better than I'd expected. He's as easygoing every day as he was on the weekends we were together. There are never any surprises, which I love about him. My boss, Mr. Hendershot, is great. He takes me under his wing and spoon-feeds me the kind of information interns rarely get. I've landed a gem of a job. Besides the occasional audit engagement for clients who have fiscal years, I'm working on writing their policy manual in the accounting department, which gives me the opportunity to use my dual major. Mr. Hendershot is filled with all sorts of knowledge that he doles out to me like M&Ms, and I joyfully gobble them up. Midway through the summer, he asks what my intentions are as far as geographical locations after graduation. My fiancé and I will be moving back to Charleston. He's going to pursue a fellowship in oncology there.
Well, that's a shame, Kate, because I would love to have you on board with us. But I can certainly promise you a great recommendation. You know, wherever you land, you're going to shine.
That night, I rush in from work, eager to share my news with Drew. He loves hearing about my work, and he's always very supportive of everything I do. But he's not there, and I spy a note from him on the counter.
Just a reminder, babe, I have hockey practice tonight. Won't be late. This guy loves you.
A giant grin spreads across my face. He always leaves me the cutest notes. I hug it to my chest on the way to the bedroom to change. When I get back to the kitchen, I open up the fridge and decide to make Greek chicken for dinner. Drew loves it, and he will be famished when he gets home. I get everything assembled and pop the pan in the oven. Then I make a tossed salad. While it does its thing, I decide to drink a beer and read a bit. A little over an hour later, the apartment smells heavenly, and my stomach rumbles in response. When I open the oven door, the chicken looks scrumptious, so much so that my mouth waters. Checking the time, I see that Drew should be home in about 30 minutes. I turn the oven off, cover the pan loosely with foil, and decide to wait on him. Not much long after that, my phone buzzes. Checking the caller ID, I see it's Drew. Hey, honey.
Kate.
He wheezes. What's wrong?
I got checked in the ribs, and I think they're fractured. I'm on the way to get an X-ray.
Shit. Want me to come and get you?
No, I'm good to drive.
You sure? You sound bad.
Just hurts to breathe. I'll be home soon.
Be careful.
Will do.
Now I'm worried sick about him driving like that. Sitting and waiting is the worst. I want to call him, but I hate to be a bother. Too many minutes tick by, and my phone rings at last.
No break, but I'm bruised. I'll be home in a bit.
That's good news. Be careful. I pace until I see his headlights through the blinds, and I shoot out the door.
This is a fine greeting. I need to get injured more often.
Drew McKnight, don't you ever say that. I've been worried sick. I hold his arm while he gets out,